Showbiz Slot with Nathan Head.
Now, anyone that knows me knows that I simply love horror. And I also like musicals. And it's fantastic when I come across a horror musical. There've been quite a lot over the years. There's been a stage version of Carrie, the two musicals about Jaws, Evil Dead the musical, Toxic Avenger the musical, Repo the Genetic Opera, Reanimator the musical, Sweeney Todd the Demon Barber of Fleet Street, Creature the musical based on the Creature from the Black Lagoon, Young Frankenstein, and even The Fly the opera, a full 2-hour operatic adaptation by Howard Shore of The Fly. Little Shop of Horrors is a rock musical by composer Alan Menken and writer Howard Ashman about a hapless florist shop worker who raises a plant that feeds on human blood. The musical is based on the low-budget 1960 black comedy film Little Shop of Horrors, directed by Roger Corman. The music was composed by Menken in the style of the early 1960s rock and roll doo-wop and early Motown. The musical version originally opened in 1982 off-Broadway, and then a film version of the musical was made in 1986, directed by Frank Oz, and noted as the only film written by Howard Ashman. It starred Rick Moranis as Seymour, Ellen Green as Audrey, Vincent Gardenia as Mr. Mushnick, Steve Martin as Orvin Scrivello, DDS, and the voice of Levi Stubbs as Audrey II, the killer man-eating plant. The 1986 film follows the plot of the musical closely, but omits the songs You Never Know, Mushnick and Son, Now It's Just the Gas, Sudden Changes, Close for Renovation, and Call Back in the Morning. Other changes include the removal of Mr. Mushnick's adoption proposition and a new ending, in which Seymour is able to save Audrey from Audrey 2 and then electrocutes the plant after it has destroyed the shop. Seymour and Audrey marry and move to the tracked home of her dreams, but a small Audrey 2 type buddy scene in their garden at the bottom. An ending more faithful to the stage version was filmed, in which the plant eats Audrey and Seymour, and then, having grown to massive size and reproduced, goes on a King Kong-style rampage throughout New York City. It was received poorly by test audiences, and the upbeat alternative ending was shot. Here is a medley of the best songs from the show, performed by the 1994 UK touring cast featuring none other than the fantastic Sue Pollard.
I've given you sunlight, I've given you rain. Looks like you're not happy, lest I open a vein. I'll give you a few drops, if that'll appease. Now please, oh please,
Phantom of the Opera is a novel by French writer Gaston Leroux. It was first published as a serialisation from September 1909 to January 1910. Initially, the story sold very poorly upon publication in book form and was even out of print several times during the 20th century. It is overshadowed by the success of its various film and stage adaptions. The most notable of these were the 1925 film depiction, Ken Hill's 1976 musical at the Theatre Royal, Stratford East, followed 12 years later by Andrew Lloyd Webber's 1986 musical. Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote a sequel to his story called Love Never Dies, which is not based on the storyline of the original book by Gaston Leroux, and Lloyd Webber has even stated that he doesn't regard this as a sequel, it's a standalone piece with the same characters. The musical is set in 1907, which Lloyd Webber states is 10 years roughly after the end of the original Phantom, although the events of the original actually took place in 1881. Christine is invited to perform at Fantasma, a new attraction in Coney Island, with her husband Raoul and son Gustave in tow. She journeys to Brooklyn unaware that it is the Phantom who has arranged her appearance at the popular beach resort. Although Lloyd Webber began working on Love Never Dies in 1990, it wasn't until 2007 that he began writing the music. The title song, also called Love Never Dies, was a tune which is identical to Lloyd Webber's other musical numbers, Our Kind of Love from Beautiful Game in 2000, and The Heart is Slow to Learn, which was also intended for a Phantom sequel, sung by Kirite Kanawa in 1998.
I know it's mad and you won't return, but then, as I have said, the heart is slow to learn. I'll live as I have loved you. Why is love cruel? yesterday. Perhaps if I just thought of all the times we fought, I've tried all that, but no, there's still no letting go. I know it's mad, and you won't return. But then, as I have said, the heart is slow to learn.
No one would have believed in the last years of the 19th century that human affairs were being watched from the timeless worlds of space. No one could have dreamed we were being scrutinized as someone with a microscope studies creatures that swarm and multiply in a drop of water. Few men even considered the possibility of life on other planets. And yet, across the gulf of space, minds immeasurably superior to ours regarded this Earth with envious eyes. And slowly and surely, they drew their plans against us.
War of the Worlds is an 1898 science fiction novel by H.G. Wells. It describes the experiences of a character who travels through London as the Earth is invaded by Martians. It is said to be the first story that details a conflict between mankind and an alien race. Following its publication, The War of the Worlds rapidly entered popular culture throughout the 20th and 21st centuries. The novel has also been adapted into a number of different mediums, including radio, television and film. These have been produced with varying degrees of faithfulness towards the original text, with many of the more famous adaptions, such as Orson Welles' 1938 radio adaption and the 2005 film directed by Steven Spielberg and starring Tom Cruise. The most popular film rendition came in 1953, produced by George Pal, directed by Byron Haskin for Paramount Pictures, starring Anne Robinson and Jean Barry. This version even spawned a TV series in the 80s. As well as the Spielberg version in 2005, that year two other film adaptions came out. One directed by David Michael Lack, which was also called Invasion in certain countries, for The Asylum, and one directed by Tim Hines for Pendragon Pictures. The Pendragon Pictures version is so far the only film adaptation set in the actual time of the novel, in Victorian England, and the David Lack version spawned a 2008 sequel called War of the Worlds 2, The Next Wave, directed by C. Thomas Howell. In 2011, Pendragon Pictures released another version entitled War of the Worlds, The True Story, which was presented as a found footage documentary. In 1978, Jeff Wayne produced a musical album telling the story, with vocals from David Essex, Chris Thompson, Julie Covington, Justin Hayward, and narrated by Richard Burton. A live tour based on this album began in the UK and Ireland in April 2006. I met up with Jeff Wayne, and he was telling me how the musical adaptation came to be.
Well, this takes us back to just past the mid-1970s, Nathan, and I was composing, arranging, producer for a lot of media, songs and things, and I started producing for my what was then a fledgling record label of mine, and I just signed David Essex. And David wrote pretty much all of his own material, so for a chunk of my working career, I was servicing all of his songs as his producer and arranger, and then I was touring with him as his musical director. And my dad, in fact, reminded me during that period, he said, hey, you know, don't forget that as part of your goals as a composer, you wanted to try to find a big story that you'd fall in love with, feel very passionate about, and don't forget that. And I remembered exactly that as I was touring with David, and suddenly I get this book, H.G. Wells' The War of the Worlds, from my dad, as one of the books we were reading during that period, from all different genres, not just science fiction. But when you're out on tour, you know, you do sometimes do a lot of traveling, you have a lot of time on your hands if you wish to read, and I read this book of H.G. Wells's, and I wasn't familiar with it at all, but it was on one read something that just caught me immediately, and from a composing and producing point of view, it was love it at first read, I guess.
For the stage tour, Jeff Wayne returned to conduct the 48-piece Ulla Dubulla Strings and a 10-piece Black Smoke Band. A holographic projection of Richard Burton performed as the journalist, Justin Hayward reprised his original role as the sung thoughts of the journalist, and Chris Thompson returned as the voice of humanity. Here is Richard Burton and Chris Thompson, taken from the Thunderchild chapter of the story.
We'll be swiftly through the waters, cannons blazing as she came. Brought a mighty mess of warlord, crashing down in sheets of flame. Sensing victory was nearing, thinking fortune must have smiled. People started cheering. Come on, Thunderchild! Come on, Thunderchild!
The Martians released their black smoke, but the ship sped on, cutting down one of the tripod figures. Instantly, the others raised their heat rays and melted the Thunderchild's valiant heart. Smoke cleared, the little steamer had reached the misty horizon and Carrie was safe. But the Thunder Child had vanished forever, taking with her man's last hope of victory. The leaden sky was lit by green flashes, cylinder following cylinder, and no one and nothing was left now to fight them. The Earth belonged to the Martians.
Out and about with Nathan Hurd.
I can just have a few minutes. I'm just wondering if you've ever heard of Nathan Hurd.
Disgusting. Completely shameless. Even took to applying lipstick during working hours. To this day, I do not know how I meant to restrain myself.
You love midnight movies, don't you?
But can you handle midnight movies 24 hours a day?
Your death will be indescribable.
Find out on Black Flag TV. The first viral television on the web. Black Flag TV is entirely dedicated to haunting horror, science fiction, and cult movies. Broadcasting live, 24 hours a day, obscure independent movies and classic horror. Make Black Flag TV your sanctuary for the horror genre.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Visit us now, blackflag.tv.
Out and about with Nathan Hurd.
Hi there, you okay? I'm just out and about asking a few questions. I'm just wondering if you've ever heard of Nathan Hurd.
Not really.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer was an American television series that aired from March the 10th, 1997 until May the 20th, 2003. It was a sequel to the 1992 comedy film of the same title and a spin-off series called Angel Ran from 1999 to 2004. In 2001 there was a special musical episode called Once More with Feeling. It was written and directed by the show's creator, Joss Whedon. The premise of Buffy the Vampire Slayer is that an adolescent girl, Buffy Summers, is chosen by the mystical forces and given supernatural powers to kill vampires, demons and many other creatures in fictional town of Sunnydale. She's supported by a close circle of family and friends, nicknamed the Scooby Gang. The musical, however, isn't a standalone story and follows the events from previous episodes and seasons, so you couldn't really watch it as a one-off, you'd have to watch the series before it or at least understand what had happened in the season before. At the end of the season before, Buffy had died in order to save her sister Dawn, which wasn't really a sister, it was someone that was created out of a key and had been implanted fake memories, and anyway, it's a long story. But she dies, and in the beginning of the next season, her best friend Willow, who's also a White Witch, resurrects her. But Buffy doesn't feel quite the same since she came back. And during a midnight patrol of the graveyard for vampires, she sings Going Through the Motions.
Every single night, the same arrangement, I go out and fight the fight. Still I always feel the strangest strangement. Nothing here is real, nothing here is right. I've been making shows of trading blows, just hoping no one knows. But I've been going through the motions, walking through the part. Nothing seems to penetrate my heart. I was always brave and kind of righteous, now I find I'm wavering. Crawl out of your grave, you find this fight just doesn't mean a thing.
She ain't got that swing.
Thanks for noticing.
She is pretty well with fiends from hell, but lately we can tell that she's just going through the motions, faking it somehow. She's not even half the girl she... Oh.
Will I stay this way forever? Sleepwalk through my life's endeavor.
How can I repay?
Whatever, I don't want to be. Losing all my drive, I can't even see if this is really me, and I just wanna be alive.
You like midnight movies, don't you?
But can you handle midnight movies 24 hours a day?
Your death will be indescribable.
Find out on Black Flag TV. The first viral television on the web. Black Flag TV is entirely dedicated to haunting horror, science fiction, and cult movies. Broadcasting live 24 hours a day, obscure independent movies and classic horror. Make Black Flag TV your sanctuary for the horror genre.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Visit us now, blackflag.tv.
Out and About with Nathan Hurd.
I can just have a few minutes. I'm just wondering if you've ever heard of Nathan Hurd.
You will burn in the everlasting fires of hell. You wicked evil. There's no love in heaven or earth for you. Nothing for you but pitiless damnation for the rest of your life. Think of it.
How'd you do, I see you've met my faithful handyman. He's just a little brought down because when you knocked, he thought you were the candyman. Don't get strung up by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Let me show you a rhyme and maybe play you a sign. You look like you're both pretty groovy. Oh, If you want something visual that's not too abysmal, we could take in an old Steve Reeves movie.
I'm glad we caught you at home. Could we use your phone? We're both in a bit of a hurry.
Right.
We'll just say where we are, then go back to the car. We don't want to be any worry.
I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Hey, I'm just a sweet transvestite. Transsexual Transylvania.
The Rocky Horror Show is a long-running British horror comedy stage musical. It was written by Richard O'Brien and produced and directed by Jim Sharman. It tells the story of a newly engaged couple getting caught up in a storm and coming to the home of a mad transvestite scientist unveiling his new creation, a muscle man named Rocky. The musical was adapted into a 1975 film called The Rocky Horror Picture Show, starring Barry Bostwick as Brad and Susan Sarandon as Janet, with Tim Curry, Patricia Quinn, Little Nell, Richard O'Brien and Meatloaf. In 1981, Jim Sharman reunited with O'Brien to do Shock Treatment. It told the continuing story of Brad, now played by Cliff DeYoung, and Janet, played by Jessica Harper. Richard O'Brien, Patricia Quinn, Charles Grey and Nell Campbell all appeared in the sequel, playing different characters this time, and only Jeremy Newson appears as the same character. Ruby Wax, Rick Mayall and Barry Humphries also appeared in the sequel.
Ever since I was the Einer Kleiner Herren, it was the cordon bleu for which I am most caring. And the van tastes treat so sweet that really came to be beat. It's what we have, yeah, how you are, caviar, that little black mess.
Well, first you go rip, rip, rip. Then you go snip, snip, snip. Then you whip in a zip, zip, zip. Split it up to the hip, hip, hip. And as you strip, 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 oh, you quiver. Oh, that soft dress as you slip, slip, slip into that little black dress. That minimal. Little black dress. Let's face it, Mac, that basic black is coming back.
Let's face it, Mac, that basic black is coming back.
So it's a shame I can't fit all of my favourite horror musicals into this show, but I'm going to finish now with a song from one of my favourite films, Hocus Pocus, from 1993. It stars Kathie Najimy, Sarah Jessica Parker and Bette Midler as three witches who cast a spell during their witch trial, which resurrects them 300 years later. The three sisters use chanting, rhyming and songs to cast their spells, and at the fancy dress ball, Bette Midler's character performed I Put a Spell on You to keep the partygoers at bay while she and her sisters go after the life force of the town's children.
I put a spell on you. And now you're mine. You can't stop the things I do. I ain't lying.
No! No! Don't listen to them!
Been 300 years, right down to the day. Now the witch is back, and there's hell to pay. I put a spell on you.
Good joke. Happy Halloween.
Thanks a lot.
No, man,
and
I'm serious.
Yeah, yeah. You got to get ahead of me.
I'm not kidding.
I'm not.
All right. Yeah, gear up. Let's go, guys.